Hi, this is Mary Sutherland, the UFO Paranormal and UFO Radio. We have kind of an interesting show for you tonight. It is with our two investigators here at the center. There is Christy Rogers and Margot Bartley. They just got back from a trip up in the northern woods to find the elusive Bigfoot. Well, first of all, we're going to start with Christy here. And I'm going to just ask a few questions, okay, to get you started. What type of trip was this?
You could say it.
A trip from hell, let me tell you. Everything that could go wrong went wrong.
And what do you think, Margot? Do you agree with that?
Yes, definitely.
Now, this all started, I mean, you knew that you guys were in trouble right in the very beginning. Well, Christy, you knew you were in trouble when you, just before, what was it? You guys were supposed to get up, what, about 4:30 in the morning?
It started before we even were supposed to get up, because for some reason I woke up at 2 in the morning knowing I had to be up at 5 to get ready to leave on our 6-hour trip. And I turned on the television, and all of a sudden this movie called Wendigo was on. And I have never even heard of it, saw the movie, even know it existed. And for some reason I had to sit down and watch this movie. And I thought it was very strange that that came on. And then I finally went to bed, and our alarm, we set our alarm for 4:45. And we did not get up when we were supposed to. My aunt called at 5:45, and we looked at our alarm, and it was turned off, and the thing was unplugged. So how that happened, we still did not know.
Okay, so now, and you were spending the night there at Christie's, Margot?
Yes, I was sleeping on the couch.
You were sleeping on the couch. And so you guys got a late start?
Yes.
Very late? Okay. So now that you've taken off, now who all went with you?
It was me, Margot, my boyfriend, and my aunt, Janie.
And where did you go? What town was this? And I'd also like to have a name of the cabin.
Do you remember?
We went up to Rice Lake in Cumberland also, which is about 10 miles east of Rice Lake. And we stayed in North Shore Cabins, and that was right off of Rice Lake itself.
Now, North Shore Cabins, doesn't that guy actually have a place out here by Twin Lakes?
We thought it was a bit of a coincidence, because when my aunt called to make reservations, they got to talking, and he actually lived down in Twin Lakes pretty much all of his life and then retired, and he and his wife moved up to Rice Lake to start to do their own cabins.
Now, there's been more than one Bigfoot sighting up there in the Cumberland County area. If I remember, there's at least two or three sightings, right?
There's three that we know of. The first one that I'm aware of was a woman, an Indian woman on Sand Lake. She had seen it. I'm not sure what the whole story is, but it is on our website. That story is on that. And another sighting was a woman and her son, and it was outside of their house looking through her daughter's window. She got so frightened that she actually moved out of the area and moved to a different area more south from Cumberland. And the last sighting that I know of was a girl that we actually talked to up there who saw a female Bigfoot with two babies on the side of the road.
Awesome. Then you actually did get to speak to an eyewitness that actually seen a Bigfoot.
Yes, we did. She and her husband were traveling eastbound on Highway G, which is right off of Main Highway in Cumberland in Rice Lake, 48. And she, this was around midnight, and they looked to her left, and there she saw these really three dark figures. And as the headlights came more approaching on them, she noticed that it definitely wasn't a bear, it wasn't deer, it wasn't anything that she's ever seen before. And she described the tall one as an adult with long, dark, silverish back hair, bristly, and the two little ones with no silver tint but a bear behind as it galloped away from where they were at.
See, now that's where I've been thinking about that one today, the gallop. Now, a regular Bigfoot, I've never heard of a regular Bigfoot galloping, have you?
No, I haven't never heard of that. Yeah, that caught me off guard when she said that. But when she described it, she said that they were very, they were trying to get away, and they were very frightened, she seemed, because I think with the two babies, and they used their long arms to really push themselves, to really run fast. See, she said that once they started doing that, they were running very fast into an open field.
Now, when she originally seen them, were they standing upright, or was she just viewing them as they ran?
When they came across them, they were standing there, and the adult had seen the headlights coming and seen them, and they started running, galloping, as she said. And as soon as they got closer to them, she noticed they really started using their long forearms and pushing themselves like a gallop almost, like a gorilla would.
Okay, well, I don't think anybody has actually seen a Bigfoot run. We've seen photos of them standing, we've seen videos of them walking, but I think this would be the first account of one actually running. So, I mean, we can't discount that, especially if she was a witness. Oh, excuse me, Margot.
When she was describing it to us, she got very shaky and very nervous and had a hard time like telling us the story.
Now, the town people didn't believe her, right?
When I approached her, and she told me that she had had an actual sighting, she seemed very relieved to hear that we were willing to listen to her, because she had stated that a lot of the townspeople, a lot of her friends and family, as she said, thought she was crazy, and nobody really believed her, and that they were just making it up, her and her husband, mind you.
Although this has been on TV, hasn't it? Bigfoot sightings up in the Cumberland area.
Yeah, it's been on TV. It's been on Strange Encounters, I believe the show was. And she, Desiree Jasper, that's who my witness was, said that she actually saw the show, and she got really excited because she knows. Now she knows it, that she's not nuts, that she really did see something, and there is somebody out there who will listen to her.
Well, congratulations, Desiree, for coming forth with the truth. Now, you said that the starting around 2 o'clock before you even left, you started having problems. One was you couldn't sleep. You had to, and if anybody has ever listened to some of my shows on synchronicity, you'll see how this all falls into play. And I would advise you going to Raymond Fowler's show, and he wrote the book Synchrophiles, and it and there it he really goes into detail about how synchronicity falls into play on some of this stuff, like what we're going to be talking about tonight. But so anyhow, what happened with Christy and Margot is they all got together, and they spent the night at Christy's place. Christy couldn't sleep. She woke up, and synchronicity kicks in with the show Wendigo. Then of course the somebody or something actually turned the clock off. Not only did they unplug it, but they took the clock itself and turned it off, because the clock has like a battery, so they for instance, if it became unplugged, the battery would still kick in and the alarm would still go off. So anyhow, her aunt and was it just your aunt showed up, and or she called, and these guys were still in bed. So then they turned around, they took off and hit solid rain most of the time, all the way up there, right? All about 3/4 or so up there, solid rain, or the first hour up there. Then they had a flat tire, right? No, I thought there was a flat. Oh, the tires just went low. Okay, once they were already up there, so I apologize for that. And then when they finally got there, they went to check in. Christy's boyfriend sprained his ankle, so he was down for the count, and it swelled up, and so he was unable to really get around and be with the girls. Then they checked in, and they had problems. They had a ping, 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 and what was going on with the ping, ping, ping?
Well, we looked out our window, and we see these chipmunks falling from our roof. The owners of the cabin, he and his son, were shooting the chipmunks, and they said they were doing that because they were being mischievous, I guess you could say, getting into things. And my aunt had a real hard time with this because she has a real, like, love for animals, I guess you could say. And she just went in the other room. She couldn't even deal with it. And, you know, I went outside and I could see him chasing these chipmunks on the roof into the trees, trying to kill them.
And, you know, which is really strange, folks, because of the fact that most people that are going up into the northern woods to check in to a cabin for the weekend, they are nature lovers. And naturally, the last thing that you want to do is see part of nature being shot right in front of their very eyes. Now that they've checked in with their with Christy's boyfriend with a sprained ankle and having to tolerate or to try to deal with chipmunks being shot off of their roof, they decide that they're going to go into town and start asking some of the locals. Now in the town, there's this fascinating bar that we had heard about, and I'd asked Christy and Margot to specifically go there because I wanted to do, you know, a little story on them. They had this like statue of a Bigfoot out in front of the bar, and then inside the bar they have a bunch of memorabilia of the Bigfoot. And Christy, tell us about this great bar, this great Bigfoot bar. How are you received there?
Well, I don't know if great is such the word for it. The bar's name was called The Spot. The only Bigfoot memorabilia they had left was outside of the bar, which was a Bigfoot. And I went inside to ask some questions, and this girl that was the bartender was very, very rude. And she wanted nothing to do with us. She wouldn't answer any of our questions. I offered to leave my card. She didn't want my card. She was very short with us and very standoffish. And I asked when the owners were coming in, you know, because she obviously wasn't the owner. I said, well, tomorrow sometime. And I specifically asked her what time tomorrow. And then she gave me maybe 9 or 10. And I noticed she kept saying maybe. And she was trying to do anything she could to get be interrupted from us.
Well, she even asked you to leave and take your card with you, didn't she?
Yes, I laid the card down. She goes, well, you can just take that with you if you want to come back and talk to the owners.
So, thank you very much for a nice welcome to your bar there. Now, how did the town people receive you?
Oh, the town people were just wonderful. Not. They were actually very rude and very standoffish. They were typically nice in the introduction, but if we'd start asking questions, they wouldn't look straight at us. They would look down. They would be very rude. They were very, I can't give any information. We'd ask where certain trails were or certain locations that we needed to go to do some research. And people that I know have lived there for 20 years said, well, I don't know where that's at. I don't know where it's at. And I'm sorry, but anybody that lives in your hometown for more than 5 years, 5 months, you know where places are. So there's something going on there, something big going on.
Well, now you got a bar with a great big old Bigfoot statue out in front, and you ask the town people questions about Bigfoot, and they tell you they don't even know what Bigfoot is, right?
Yes, I had one lady at the grocery store say, well, what's a Bigfoot? She wasn't sure what a Bigfoot was, and she thought that we were actually joking around. And then another man at the grocery store said that he was going to look on a map to see if he could find some trails for us called the Indian Trails, the old Indian Trails. And he went into the back for maybe 10 seconds, came back out and said, well, there is no trails. It just seemed very odd to us that these people that live there all their lives, that have these businesses that need to run, that they were just very rude and short and didn't know from left to right in that town. So it was strange.
Well, now, out of desperation, you figure the Native Americans, they all know the legend of the Bigfoot, right? No, and you managed to find a Native American, right, Margo?
Well, we stopped a couple places to ask where some of these trails were, any good places to hike around there. And I went into a hotel, and there was an Indian lady working there. And I just asked, told her I had a question for her, and right when I mentioned trails and I heard about an old Indian trail and an Ice Age trail, she got real quiet and didn't want to talk about anything and just said that she had no clue what I was talking about and wasn't from around there.
Even though she worked at the hotel. Yeah. So, so anyhow, you guys, and now did they know that you were working for BUFO Paranormal and UFO Radio, that you were researchers up there to do a story? You did have your shirts on?
Well, not the first day that when we arrived there on Wednesday, we checked in, everything went to town, and we looked like everybody else. We had jean shorts on and t-shirts. We didn't have anything that said who we were, where you're from, or anything. And even when we didn't say who we were, they were still very rude. Then when I gave my card, I showed my card, they even got more rude and more standoffish and more like, please just leave me alone, I don't want to talk about it. And it was almost like they were even scared to even mention anything to us. And even from an old Indian trail, they wouldn't even fathom the idea of talking to me about it.
Well, I wonder if maybe they didn't have some bad experiences with the TV show. But we came to the conclusion that wasn't it, though, didn't we? Like I said, now I'm going to go back, all the way back again, and remind you we're working with synchronicity here and strange events that was taking place. And the reason I keep bringing this up, too, is not only because of synchronicity. We think, because I talked to Margot, or I talked to Christy last night, and folks, I don't know how many of you people know what a Wendigo is. But a Wendigo is, there's several different descriptions of a Wendigo, but my definition of a Wendigo is a spirit that is a protector of the forest, but it's also a very, very dangerous spirit and will go to it will stop at nothing in order to accomplish its mission. And it seemed to me that when Christy first watched that show, that was her first hint that a Wendigo was going to be involved in to protecting the Bigfoot and some of the other things up in this town. And it seemed to us because of Christy's abilities, because she does, we have discovered, you know, with me working with Christy as long as I have now, I have decided that Christy is what you call a walk-in psychic, or a walk-through psychic, so that she can pick up things that a lot of people can't. And I feel that deliberately, or this Wendigo actually attacked Christy, and also used his mesmerized the town, mesmerized the people that was in the search party for Bigfoot. We've seen a negative influence from the very beginning of this Wendigo. We've also come to the conclusion that in the town itself was a vortex that had a portal we come to conclusion that there was watchers up there, the Grays, that and they had hoods on. A lot of you that know and have studied aliens know that there is some sort of a entity that it's a hooded entity. And in this case, we did some regressive hypnosis on Christy, and Christy was able to see this this chalkish white gray type creature with the hooded hooded robe on. So anyhow, and then of course naturally we got the Bigfoot. So And of course, we have the Wendigo. I am so sure that there's a Wendigo up there, folks. And this Wendigo felt that they were it was threatened by Christie. You know that, or that Christie was a threat, and that maybe because you know a lot of people think that the Bigfoot can actually step into the veil, and hide in the veil where nobody can see. But of course, if a psychic camp comes along that has the gift of sight, that can actually see through the veil, then that the Bigfoot's not going to be able to hide. So I think that was one of the problems that this Wendigo had with Christie. Now, and as far as the negativity in the town, I believe that the people were influenced by this Wendigo. One of the things about a Wendigo, anyone that is influenced by Wendigo is they have antisocial behaviors, which was definitely seen up there. Whether they were coming across as BUFO researchers or if they were coming across as tourists, it didn't really seem to make much difference. Christy Markle says that they had been cut off several different times. Flipped off. You know, I mean, they definitely was not made welcome, and then you actually there was a place called Spirit Lake that you thought that you might be able. There had been an actual sighting at Spirit Lake, and you girls had actually during the daytime had found the road taking you to Spirit Lake, right? And then, now this is again where mesmerization comes through, you know, and let Christy explain what happened there.
Well, we were actually looking for one particular lake, which is Sand Lake. And the first day we could not find Sand Lake, but we did come across Spirit Lake. And I was very intrigued by Spirit Lake. I kept telling Margo and Janie, you know, I want to stop at Spirit Lake. I want to stop. I want to get some pictures. And it was getting pulled to Spirit Lake, but that first day we didn't stop. We just kind of thought, okay, here it is, tomorrow we'll come back and do whatever. Well, we went back the next day, or was it the following, whichever. It was on 5.5 Street, and these streets, mind you, are very strange up there. There's 5th Street and then there's 5.5 Street, and it's just very strange. But we knew what street it was on. It was on 5.5 Street, so we got back on that, and for the life of us, we could not find the road to Spirit Lake, because there was this gravel road that led to Spirit Lake, and there was like this little off ditch where you could park and go, you know, take pictures or whatever. And we drove up and down that street and other streets around it, and there was no possible way we found that same gravel road that we were looking for to get to Spirit Lake.
Now, another thing that you noticed was that there was no roadkill. And that was kind of like people that have studied the Bigfoot, they realize that the Bigfoot do take small animals and roadkill. And what did you think about that?
I noticed that as soon as we got up to Rice Lake and we started going into Cumberland and out in the back roads, I noticed that I did not see one roadkill. There was, like I said before, there was two main highways, Highway 63 and Highway 48. They were parallel to each other. And on those two highways, I did not see any roadkill. Then we went in between those two highways off these old gravel roads, these back roads that, you know, people did use their residential areas. Still, no roadkill. I did not see one roadkill. We did, however, the last night, did see a deer, but that was just hit within probably an hour or two because it was fresh. It was a fresh kill. And that was the only roadkill I saw within those 3 days of searching.
And now, a lot of people have noticed that Bigfoot has an odor. As a matter of fact, down in Florida, they call Bigfoot skunk ape because of this very, very strong odor. Now, although you did get to see a Bigfoot, you did experience something concerning that odor, right?
Yeah, there was a couple times where we would hit a certain road and my aunt would say, you know, what is that smell? I smell something. And then we would all take a minute and try to determine what we were smelling. And all I can say is the smell was not pleasant. It wasn't a skunk. It wasn't, you know, a dead animal. It was something rotten. It was a very bad odor, and we could not determine where it was coming from, what direction, how close it was. All we know, it was there, and it was just in a few areas that, and every time my aunt said that, that's when I got a real strong feeling that something was there, but I could not find it. We did smell it.
But now, your aunt actually wanted to get out and go through the woods and see if she couldn't find it, and you had such a foreboding feeling about this that you refused to get out.
Right. We, at the very Thursday, after hours and hours of talking to people trying to find these trails, we just took it amongst ourselves to go out to these back roads and find our own trail. And we came to this old logging road that loggers were actually using because they were building a house back in these woods. And we thought this is the perfect area. But we couldn't drive back in there because it was all mud and branches. So we came back that night pretty late. It was probably around 10 or 11, and we turned off the lights and we were in the car, and for some reason there was no way I was going to get out of that car. And all of a sudden Margo's like, I gotta go to the bathroom, and everybody's kind of, we all just said, you know, I'm not getting out of this car. There was no way I was getting out of this car. And it was funny because we all had planned to get out of the car. We had bug spray, we had flashlights, we had infrared, we had equipment to get out of that car and to go search through those woods. And there was no way, when we had the perfect opportunity, was I going to get out of that car.
Well, I don't blame you, actually. You know, it's one thing to go out there and do it, but then who knows what was actually out there. But, you know, I've always said, go with your instincts. And when you feel that there is danger, that is the time that you best be listening to your instincts. Especially, not only were you dealing with Bigfoot, but if you were dealing with a Wendigo, which, like I said before, I highly suspect you were, the best thing for you to have done was exactly what you did do. Now, there was a trail, though, that you guys did manage to, you started to go into the woods, and it was like you ran into a man or something, and he told you that you couldn't go in, you were trespassing or something, and so they wouldn't allow you, or how was that?
We found this old back road, and it was kind of like you'd go through these little thicket of trees, and then there was like an open field. And we all got out, got our stuff going, and we were starting to head back, and there was a sign that said no trespassing, and there was a house, and there was someone standing outside of the house. So we all kind of backed off and didn't decide to go through there. And we had noticed when we were out getting out of the car that there was the grass and stuff was like pushed down, and it was too big for a deer to have laid down in that area. It was too big. I've seen plenty of beds that deer have made, you know, in the fields or whatever, and this was too big, and it was definitely right, and it was streaked out like something had just sprawled all over it. And it's not like something like a person had just sat down in it or a car drove through. It was definitely something big that had laid down, right, made a bed in that. And then I noticed towards the house, there had to go, in order to get to the house, you had to go through this little patch of woods, that there's a whole bunch of branches and trees kind of brushed out of the way. And it was too tall for an average man to do that, because even up higher, the trees were kind of pushed out of the way, like making a path. And an average guy, say 5'7", 5'8", you know, even maybe 6 foot, it still was too tall for a man to do.
Okay, now there, you went into this one bar, and you asked, you started asking questions about Bigfoot, and a few guys, you know, some of the culture club there started laughing and joking about what you guys were doing. But then you ran into another person had stopped those guys and said something to them. You want to tell our listeners what part took there?
Well, my aunt was actually one to go up and start talking to the local people. Because when we went into that bar, I was having a really bad night. From the moment we arrived to Rice Lake, all my energy, all of our energy was gone. We were all in bad moods. We were just not happy campers those days. So my aunt went up and started talking to some local guys that were sitting up at the bar. And they just started joking around and kind of making fun of us and, you know, oh, you guys don't know what you're talking about. They're just bears, blah, blah, blah. And then this one man said, well, that's kind of funny because I put up a, this is what he's saying, he put up a, what do you call those lights? A motion light on top of his porch. And he said the only way that motion light will go off is if a human standing up walks up to his door. It was set so high up, like 6 feet tall or higher, because, you know, he just wants to know if somebody's at his door. And he said one night he was in his living room and it went off. Well, he went out there and he saw nothing. And he thought, well, maybe one of his buddies came over or something, because that light only goes off if you are a tall person or a human standing at the door. Now, he did his own experimenting and crawled up his steps to see maybe if it did trigger some little animal crawling up the steps and it didn't go off. Then he said he kind of knelt down on his knees and stood up like, you know, like maybe a bear, a small bear or something would do, and it still didn't go off. He stood up with his arms up in the air. That's when it went off. So he goes, I'll leave it as a bear, but it had to have been a really big bear standing on his feet with his arms up to get that light to go off. He said, you have to be tall in order for that motion light to go off by my door.
And, so you found a bed that was very, very suspicious. You were able to talk to some man that feels that there was something very suspicious on his part. And then you also came across that one woman, and Desiree, and she works at Subway. And she said that her and her husband actually seen a family of them. Another interesting factor is what Christy brought up. After they left from Burlington, their energy level went down. Now, by rights, because of what they were about to partake on, you know, this grand adventure of Bigfoot hunting, their adrenaline should have been pumping. It should have been just the opposite. But their energy level was tapped. And by the time they got there, it was low. It got lower and lower and lower. When they finally got there, it was tapped. And they were not ever able to regenerate this energy. And the girls here right now saying they're still drained of all energy. So something drained, you know, of the energy. Now, me, I believe it was the Wendigo. The Wendigo is also the one, again, I say is responsible for the antisocial behavior of the townspeople of Rice Lake. At least I would hope so. I would hate to think that since they're depending so much on tourists up there, that they actually would treat tourists that badly. Now, again, there was something that happened that dips right into the paranormal. Even though they were not able to see a Bigfoot, something happened up there. And it almost cost Christy her life. I'll let Christy tell you the story.
Me and Margot decided that we were going to go out on a boat. We decided to go on a canoe, and the canoe that we picked, the owner's wife helped us. She said, "Well, take this one. It's a shorter one, not as tipsy." Well, we don't know. We've never really been on a canoe. And we got out there, and the moment I got onto that boat and sat down, I was absolutely terrified. I was whining and just being a... Yeah, and let me add, me and Mark, I was on my high school swim team, you know, freshman year to senior year. I'm a very good swimmer, and Margo is also a good swimmer. You know, there's no problems in that area. I would not go on a boat if I didn't know how to swim. And like I said, the moment I got on that boat, I was terrified. And Margo was consoling. She's like, oh, we'll be fine, you know, and she was actually doing the main rolling for us. She actually got the hang of it, and we started, you know, going out a little bit further, and I was still scared, and I just kind of let her take over. And there was no big waves, and there was little current waves, and we were kind of going into them, so it was not a big deal. And all of a sudden, I got real still, and Margo turned around like halfway and said, "It's getting really tippy on this thing." The next thing I know, I'm underneath the water, and the seaweed was wrapped around my legs and my ankles, and I could not get up to the surface. I was underwater, and I can just right now picture myself under the water, and I remember thinking, "Oh my God," because I started choking. I could not manage to get myself out of that water, and it was wrapped around my legs so tight. And all of a sudden, something grabbed the back of my tank top. Yes, well, yes, like Mary said, I did ask for help when I was underneath, and I realized I was starting to choke and could not hold my breath any longer. I said, "Oh my God, something, please help me. I got to get out of here." So, and all of a sudden, somebody grabbed the back of my tank top and thrust me out of the water up into the air, forced me out of the water onto the boat. And that's when I realized that something really bad was happening. I was very weak. I could not breathe. I had swallowed so much water, and I was panicked. I couldn't find Margo, and then I realized she was on the other side of the boat, and I just kept asking if where she was, because I couldn't find her. And here's Margo. Let her tell her side.
Well, I had gotten out of the water finally, and I heard Krista come up out of the water, and she came up with such a force. She hit the boat and completely tipped it again, because when I had gotten up, it was kind of sideways, so I had gotten it back to where how it normally is supposed to be. And there was water in the boat because it was halfway under the water, and this force just, I mean, she just completely tipped it again, and it was just unreal.
And then we proceeded.
You asked Margo. Thank you.
Right. In the water, I said, "Margo, thanks for getting me out of the underneath the water." And she goes, "What are you talking about? I'm over here. I didn't touch you." She goes, "I did not get you out of the water." And at that point, I didn't think anything of it. I just thought to myself, "I need to get to shore." And after that, it was kind of blurry. I don't remember how I proceeded back to the shore. I know Margo was on the opposite side of me on one end of the boat, and I was on the other side. And I was hanging onto the rope of the boat. I was not pulling it with me because I had absolutely no strength. And when I say no strength, I mean I don't even know how I swam to shore. And it was almost as something was pushing me and Margo to shore. She was not pulling the boat as she swam. I was not pulling the boat. But sure enough, here me and Margo come to the shoreline with this boat, and it's almost like somebody was just pushing us along, helping us to shore. I don't remember coming to shore. I remember getting out of the water, but I don't remember getting to shore. And when I got onto shore, I could hardly even walk back to the cabin. I was so out of breath, I couldn't breathe. I was panicked. It was just awful. And I don't know how we got to the shore, and I don't know how I got. And when I got out of the water, I still had seaweed wrapped around my legs that was holding me down when I was in the middle of the lake.
Now, you also lost your glasses under the water too. So let me reiterate on that. The more she struggled, the more the weeds wrapped around her legs and pulled her deeper. She was totally under the water. She couldn't breathe. She was finally she started taking in water. Out of panic, out of desperation, she cries, "Help me." She feels a hand reach down, and she had like a tank top on, a swimsuit top on that ties in the back behind the neck. She feels a hand reach down, grab onto that, and actually pulled her upwards. Pulled so hard that it broke the weeds loose around her legs. Pulled her up at such a force that she popped up out of the water and actually landed on the canoe.
And I also want to say, just before we tipped, my boyfriend managed to walk out to the pier. Now, how he did this and why he did this, we're not sure. He couldn't walk. His ankle was swollen. He managed to walk out and get pictures of us out on the boat. And I asked him when I got, why did you take pictures? I don't know. That's all he could say. And he, just before he left, he goes, well, don't tip. He screamed out to us, you guys are going to tip. And sure enough, as soon as he got off that pier and I saw him walk back up to the cabin, there we went. And Margo also stated to me as we were walking back, she goes, God, it just felt like something just kept pulling me down. And she just felt this force pushing her down in underneath the water. And for some reason, she was able to not be forced down there. I had no control. Whatever wanted me under there kept me under there. And whoever helped me, I will always, always thank them, because somebody helped me that day. And I don't know who it was. I have an idea who it was. And yes, it's a person named Joshua, but a spirit named Joshua. And it just, how Margo explained what she was feeling and what happened to me, there was something uncontrollable happening. It was not just by coincidence that there was these weeds there. It was something we had no control over.
Now, if you noticed, we said that there was, we feel that there was two spirit forces involved here. One was, we believe, to be the Wendigo that actually attacked their canoe and tipped it and pushed them under the water. And it meant business. They wanted, the Wendigo wanted them away from the Bigfoot area, away from this portal area, and had no problem whatsoever of taking them out. Thank God that Joshua came along. Joshua, we got to know here through some regressive hypnosis that we did last night, as well as some other sessions that we had where Joshua came through. It seems that Joshua is one of the spirit guides, you know, that has been kind of standing behind or beside Christy for a while now. And as a matter of fact, I think he brought her here to the center. But anyhow, Margo, now I didn't know this about, you could actually feel a force pushing you under the water.
Well, I felt like something wrapping around my ankles. And I don't know, it might have been the seaweed, I don't know what it was, but I remember getting out and I had red marks all over my feet and ankles. And they stayed for a couple of days, they finally went away, but
you felt like I
did.
And anybody who has been in water where there is seaweed and stuff that can, you know, you can get tangled into, from my experience, seaweed does not get, it has no strength. It can't wrap around and get tighter. It can get tangled in with shoes or with, you know, clothes or whatever, but I have never heard of seaweed or whatever it was wrap around a leg and tighten itself like a rope and leave, you know, tightening marks. Like, it was just so tight it left red marks on our legs. I mean, whatever this was just, it just felt like it was somebody took each end of the seaweed and just pulled tighter and tighter onto our legs, making it as though it was rope around us.
I don't remember how I got back up.
Now, let's see, there was something else. Oh, I remember what it was. Now, okay, again, the boyfriend had sprained his ankle. It was swollen. He couldn't get up and walk. But for some reason, and he has no, to this day, cannot figure out why, he felt the necessity of coming out and taking a picture of them before they left. And then yell out, you're going to tip. Now, again, we see some sort of manipulation, psychic manipulation here. And again, I believe it was due to the fact of the Wendigo. Another strange thing was they tried calling me out of frustration of what all the things that was happening to them up there. They tried calling me three times, right? Three times they tried calling me, and believe this or not, every time they tried calling me, they got a recording saying that my number was out of service, my phone was out of service, and of course it wasn't. but whatever it was did not want them being able to make contact with me.
Well, we decided, Mary had told us when we got up there to call and tell her the actual name of this bar. I decided that when I got back into the cabin, I was going to try calling her from my aunt's phone because Margot had stated her phone wasn't working because I guess somebody tried calling her and it said she had no service. And I tried using that phone and it said that it was unavailable. I could not make this call. So I really didn't think any too much of it at that time because, you know, I thought reception was horrible up there or something. And then the next day I wanted to call her. It was kind of late. It was like when we got back, just before we went to eat, I was going to give her a call to let her know that we're having a really crappy time and there's something going on here with these townspeople. And the same damn thing happened. Couldn't get through. And then my uncle tried calling Margot, and her phone was in her pocket and it never went off, stating to him that her phone was out of service. So we couldn't really make contact with anybody, and especially Mary. We could not get a hold of Mary.
So that was the experiences of our researchers' trip in search of Bigfoot. The thing was, when Christy and Margot came back, they were kind of upset over the fact that they wasn't able to find out any more than what they did. But as I was listening to the story, I realized that Bigfoot today, as it was, or he was yesterday, is protected. And whatever is out there that is protecting the Bigfoot, they experienced. And so we call this in search of Bigfoot, the trip to hell and back. And we want to thank Christy and Margot for going up there and trying to find Bigfoot, but apparently he's not meant to be found. And I think they did a great job. And I want to thank both of these girls. They're researchers here at the UFO Radio, and they're doing a fantastic job. And I'm proud to have them on our team here. And this is Mary Sutherland, the UFO Paranormal and UFO Radio at 541 North Pine Street, Burlington, Wisconsin, burlingtonnews.net. Stop on in at our center. We're open afternoons. And up until 7 o'clock, and then from 7 to 10, I'm closed. And then after 10, I open again, and I'm open until 6 o'clock in the morning. So stop on in and visit us. Also, before I sign off, I invite you to take a look at the pictures that Christy and Margot were able to take while they were up there. There's an interesting mist that you will see around them. Again, showing us that there was some sort of paranormal activity involved in this trip up there. I'll have that, I'll have a link on our website, you know, on our audio pages where to find these pictures. And again, thank you so much for being our investigators of Bigfoot. This is Mary Sutherland. Wishing you and yours a good night. Keep your eyes to the sky and your minds open to all the possibilities.